real rock opera, ain't it? I don't mean to be a smartass, but now I know why I never liked that kind of music. Unless it was really good, you know, unless it was a really good one. Anyway, that's probably mean of me to say that. That was a group that was a very ambitious song. I think the song was called like Buried Alive or some shit. I forget. Fans on, that's why you're hearing that noise. How y'all doing? Good. And just looking to see what's up. So we're gonna do that Dolezal woman. What's her name? The chick that pretended to be black. I think she tried to pass her father off as a black man, which was not true. So in other words, it is true you don't have to be black to be in the NAACP. You don't have to be black to go to Howard University. But these are places that have promoted the advancement of black or colored people, as they were once known, you know. Because they needed that kind of promotion. I know that it's not anything I really have to tell you guys, I would think, who are educated members of the American electorate, but there are people, whites, who don't think any of that shit happened. I'm telling you, they don't think any of that shit happened. They don't think that black people were held back. They thought black people had every opportunity like whites. It's stunning, but it's true. So, let's see. So what we're going to do here is have that little bit of falderall on. I can find the story now. Star Wars Rogue One. Never Alone. Tilly La Cabrona. He math me feel special. Use liver and cheese in a sentence. Tilly Cabrona. Let me see here, man. Where is this goddamn thing? I'm gonna be all right, man. I'm gonna be fine. I'm gonna be fine, man. Let me see here. Tony Cabrona. Let me go over to news stories. What am I doing here? News. Oil prices rise as Texas braces for tropical storm. Dolezal. See what we got. Rachel Dolezal, her brother faces child sex assault. So this is relevant how. Her appearance is blackface, says her brother. President of the NAACP. The brother came out and said that she was in blackface, and no sooner had he said that suddenly the story is that the guy faced a child sex charge. Oh my God, this is fucking sad. This is just, this is a family, man, whose shit is now getting paraded across the, and, you know, say what you want. Their parents did it. They didn't do it. They should have done it. They shouldn't have done it. They might have done it. The brothers, this, that. It's just a sad fucking thing, man. I think calling yourself black when there's no African-American blood, there's no African blood, there's no ethnicity, there's in terms of race, race history, is bullshit. Okay? Calling yourself black in the sense of a cultural identity, I suppose, can be fun if you're like Johnny Otis, who was a jazz musician and a club owner and an entertainer and one of the great rhythm and blues artists and band leaders of all time. And Johnny came out and said, you know, that he was very, very young when he decided he wanted to be black. He liked the music, he liked the people, and that's what he was going to do. And but I don't think he ever said, I am, in point of fact, a black man. I think he said, you know, I'm black, with quotes around it. I think everybody knew Johnny Otis was white, you know. Johnny's wife, I think, was black. His son, Shuggy. And here's the funny thing about this. All came out when, you know, Obama ran for president. I don't know. Some people must think that some of us are stupid. I know what black is. In America, growing up all my life, if you had any black blood in you, you were black. People made goddamn sure of that. And it was considered a negative. It was considered a negative. It was, oh, wow. There's slave blood in that guy, man. That means there's anger, there's resentment, there's slothful behavior, there's possible criminal intent, there's black, African, Negro, colored, right? And that dude had, or woman, that was an indictment. Oh, he's got black blood. Oh, his father's black. His grandfather was black. This was not something that people walked around and said, oh, wow. Everybody loves to talk about how they're part Native American. Everybody loves to talk about how they're part fucking Irish, how they're part Hungarian. Everyone's proud of their Italian roots. But tell them that they've got African blood in them, and they'll run from it, man, unless there's no way that they can avoid it, right? So that was not anything that anybody was fucking proud of. And it was considered in America, if you had black blood, you're black, or you're part African American, you're mulatto, or whatever, however they said it. Here comes Barack Obama, who has a black father and looks goddamn black. He's black. The Democrats, who, you know, the white Democrats in that campaign, who had utter and complete discomfort with having to explain Barack Obama's blackness. It was like Geraldine Ferraro, who was angry because they're going to vote for him because he's black. Now, had she been able to explain why she said that, she might have been okay, but she wasn't really able to articulate why she said people are going to vote for him because he's black. It came out sounding resentful and like he wasn't qualified and like he had no real, he had no real qualifications for this office he was running for. He was going to get votes because he had black skin and white guilt, which became the, you know, favorite phrase of a lot of conservatives, white guilt, white guilt. Now, I got into a really interesting thing today. People jumped all over me when I was saying that, well, the history of this country, you say white guilt? Then there's the opposite of that, which is all of that white progress made on the backs of black people who didn't get those jobs, didn't get those contracts, didn't get that salary, didn't get that money, didn't get that house, didn't get that apartment. The white guy moved in on top of that, okay? And all of those whites now have built a very comfortable history that they sort of, you know, created, and they're comfortable with this. And it says basically the following thing: I earned all this shit on my own. No, you fucking didn't. I'm not saying you're a bad person. I'm not even saying you were aware. I'm not saying like today's generation of white people, I'm not indicting all the fucking people in America today by saying you got where you are, because I'm saying the white people of America got to where they are on two reasons for this. One, on the fucking backs of minorities that didn't get the job, and two, on this sense of entitlement that I really know how it's done. I can educate and teach blacks and Mexicans and all these other cats on how to get it done, right? No wonder fucking people are pissed. I'd be fucking pissed if some motherfucker came up to me and said, let me explain how you make it in America. You work hard. I worked fucking hard, bitch. I know exactly how you are where you are and I am where I am. And it has a lot to do with the fact you got white fucking skin and that you got jobs. Your ancestors got jobs my ancestors couldn't get. So don't give me this bullshit about how if you just work hard and buckle down. Sure, there's no question there were black people who were able to break through all that shit. They had to break through all kinds of humiliation. They had to break through all kinds of fucking insult. Break through all kinds. Some of them bought their own fucking freedom. I mean, God almighty, they must have been extraordinary people. Yeah, sure, there were people that performed fucking miracles to get out of that goddamn hell. That's not to say that that was a perfectly easy and not maybe not easy, but it's a perfectly reasonable way to find your way to the level of success that all the rest of us have in America. You there, Mr. Black Man, former slave, just by yourself. You know, the history of this country, look, people, you know why there was a free... I would have to start out with all of these people I talked to today. Do you know anything about American history? Just, you know, yes or no. They probably got a smart-ass answer on that. All right, you know what the Freedmen's Bureau was? Yeah, okay. The Freedmen's Bureau was established for a couple of reasons, one of which was when slavery was abolished and the war ended, and now a black man is free, and he's walking down a fucking road with the only thing he's got in the world, maybe a mule, maybe a cart, maybe his possessions, and maybe his wife. There were white people that saw black people walking around without chains on that so disturbed them and so discomfited them that was so unusual, they pulled a fucking gun and shot and killed those fucking people. I'm telling you, it happened. There was a reason why law enforcement had to be introduced into this situation in an extraordinary way, because regular local law enforcement wasn't getting it done. The federal government had to step in and protect these people and give them a place to go, give them access to whatever they needed. Just shot and killed. Walking down the road, bam, you're dead, motherfucker. I can't stand seeing some coon walking around free. The Klan was re-energized. And so on and so forth. I'm not here to give a lecture on all this shit. I'm just telling you, it's ugly, man. And I understand if people don't want to read it. Don't fucking tell me it didn't happen, though. Don't fucking do that. It happened. And the day we fucking just suck on it, we're going to be a way better fucking country, man. Because I am impressed, very impressed, with the German nation and how it's dealt with World War II. Far better, far more openly, far more honestly, far more thoroughly than America's been able to deal with the slave past in over 100 years. We still got motherfucking white people that think it wasn't that big of a thing, or you got to get over it, or you got to do that. And that's fine. I mean, you can think that. But then when I'm talking to people and they say that black privilege is the result of this, all these things that have been put into place, affirmative action is what they're railing against. And I turn around and say to them, well, you got over 100, 200, 300 centuries on this fucking continent of whites benefiting from the fact that those blacks didn't get the job. That black man there wasn't in the workforce. That black guy there was kept out of the fucking workforce. In New York City, when the goddamn motherfucking Irish, my ancestors, arrived in this country with their goddamn crying fucking potato famine bullshit, and they went into New York, and one of the first things they said was, I ain't gonna go off to fight no fucking war. I came over here. They came over here to suck off the fucking American dream. Okay? And on top of that, they wanted those jobs, motherfucker. Who are these fucking coons that are getting these fucking jobs? I'm a white man. Well, you're a fucking Irish white. Well, that doesn't make any difference. I mean, this happened. I want those fucking jobs. Frederick Douglass noted in his diary at the time. Unless, of course, you want to think that he was lying, that he just made it up. That he knew that someday white people are going to read this or black people are going to read this. So I better make this sound really good. I mean, I'm really living great here in New York. Me, Frederick Douglass, former slave. But I think what I'll write is a bunch of bullshit here. Frederick Douglass said, wherever we go in this city, they push us out. Wherever we go, we get pushed out. He was talking primarily about the immigrants that had come in. So today you get a lot of these dumbass fucking whites who'll say, well, was Frederick Douglass against immigration? No, no, he was in favor of getting a fucking little place at the trough, that's all. Yeah. So, it was something, man. It was fucking something. It really was. Every day, I try to tell myself that I want to deal with whatever life has to offer with humor. You know, I mean, that's what I'm best at. I mean, I'm not good at the rest of this stuff. Yeah, yeah, sure. I read history. I love to read. I love to be educated. I love to, you know what's happening. But professionally, I'm a humorist, you know, or I'm a satirist, or I'm a funny guy, you know. So I think that that's how I want to deal with these things. And that is what I think about. I don't want this guy. I want to get this chick's story, this Rachel, what's her name? But she steps down as president of Spokane NAACP. That's pretty rough, man. Here's what I'm doing, in case you trying to get this goddamn thing printed off here. Dearest Executive Committee, it is a true honor to serve in the... Okay. I guess that was her... Her resignation letter. Okay. We'll do here. And notebook. Notepad. Okay. Print. I'm just doing all kinds of wonderful things here. Is this the end of the story? And that's the end of the story. Nears a key juncture. Her parents' revelation comes as this Colorado lawsuit nears. Seems to think her parents had a motive. She made references to abuse in her family's home before and told newspaper spokesman that her parents' revelation comes as this Colorado lawsuit. So Rachel Dolezal's brother faces child sex assault charges. Christ almighty, what a... Well, I'm just telling you, it's just a fucking sad thing, you know? Just a sad thing. Really fucking sad. This country is such a great... I love this country for one of the reasons is it has these wild issues relative to race, culture, who people are, you know, who we identify as. Because, you know, there's Europeans and Africans and Asians who all come from real strong cultural lineage and tribal. And it's longer lasting and it's strong. I should say longer lasting, but it goes back many more years than the nation state that they're members of, right? Like, I could be a German or I'm a German. You know, in other words, I'm a German citizen or I'm a member of this German tribe, this Teutonic tribe, Germania, which goes back thousands of years and has all this cultural relevance that recent German history does not have since the, you know, unification of the German states, you know. So what are you? And any state has to compete with that. America was unique. We didn't have to. We didn't have to base our laws on cultural realities, for instance. I just saw where there was a... you saw the Malaysian thing, man. Malaysian law, you have to respect the fucking mountain spirits. Don't take your clothes off. Those Canadians got busted for that, right? This is a cultural thing. Now, we have, God knows we've got people that don't understand that America is laws first and our little particular cultural interests and religious interests have to come second to the well-being, to the social order of the state, you know, the freedom of everybody. And so we got this country called America, and it's based on law. It's not based on anything other than law. It's not based on the tribes. It's not based on the dance. It's not based on the hat. It's not based on the skin color. It's based on law that says this is how it is. Well, I have a religion. You can have a religion. And you can have your religion. But your religions are all subservient to the freedom, what is it? Life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, in order to establish domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, and promote the common good, the welfare of the people. I think I'm paraphrasing. We established this Constitution of the United States. Didn't say, in order for us to further glory in God, anyway, that's why this place is so great. And so we got to work it out. That Constitution basically says, you motherfuckers, get it worked out. Because the Constitution gives you the freedom also to fuck it all up. To be stupid. To amend the Constitution stupidly. There's all kinds of things we can do. We can fuck this thing up six ways to sunset. We got brown, we got pink, we got blue, we got all these colors. We got people who claim to be a certain color that they're not. We got culture, we got race, we got nationality, we got region. All this shit. The South never understood that while, yes, I understand you have the Southern way of life. Yes, I understand that there is the Southern traditions. Yes, I understand there's states' rights. All kinds of great shit. There's only one fucking problem that you have. Nothing that you do can be unconstitutional. It can't be something that comes at the expense of other people's rights. That's all. Now, if you consider that to be so onerous and so fucking terrible and such a burden on your fucking ass, well then, tough shit. See, if you think respecting the right of another man, if you think adhering to the charter that you signed to, that 49 other states signed to, or however many fucking states there were, that everybody said we're going to do this, adhering to a common currency, adhering to a common trade, adhering to a national government, that, you know, you want to know the reason why it was a national government? The national government assumed the fucking debts of the colonies after the Revolutionary War. Alexander Hamilton, who had, because they wrote a book about him that was flattering, and because, you know, some of these revisionist, stupid motherfuckers now think Alexander Hamilton was a terrible guy. Alexander Hamilton simply said, there's all these colonies with all this debt. They got this war debt. They'll never fucking pay this shit off. We'll never fucking pay this shit off. And we're still vulnerable as a country. We're vulnerable because we've got 13 different national governments, if you will, 13 different kinds of currencies, all kinds of trade agreements with foreign countries, all this Revolutionary War debt, all these fucking colonies owe. We're completely vulnerable to an attack from Europe. We've just fought this war. We got the goddamned British off our ass. Doesn't mean they ain't going to come back. Doesn't mean they're going to try it again. France wanted us to get involved with their beef with England. And the people that were running the show in those days here in America knew it's the last motherfucking thing we needed was another goddamn war, to get involved in another war, to get involved in another, you know, because freedom is what it's all. Yes, freedom was important. Thomas Jefferson wanted us to jump in with both feet because he just thought it was so magnificent and glorious that we would fight for the freedom of the common man. You know, at the expense of the existence of the country you live in? Is that what you want to do, Jefferson? So, there had to be a way to deal with this shit. And one of the things was they had to assume the debt, the Revolutionary War debt. The federal government in Washington said, "We'll, if you will agree to a federal contract, we'll assume this debt, and this will no longer be your debt. And in so doing, you become confederated with the other colonies into a national government of some kind." It was a very loose confederation at the beginning. The Articles of Confederation, you know your history, of course. Well, I could go on and on, but I think you understand. And the negotiations went on from there. And Virginia, they didn't want it. Virginia was the biggest state in the Union at that time. And the deal was struck between Hamilton, I guess, and Jefferson or somebody said, listen, if you guys will come on board, we'll put the national capital in Virginia. The capital of the country will be in Virginia. That sounded pretty good to whoever the fuck was running the show in Virginia. I guess it was Jefferson and some of the other guys said, okay, all right, we're in. And ahead of after a brief stop in Philadelphia, where they were in Philadelphia for a few years. I don't know, they got out of New York. They moved things south to Philly for a while. And then they moved to Washington at the turn of the 19th century. John Adams was the first president to be in residence at the White House, however briefly. And then, you know, and then came the great Thomas Jefferson, who just loved being president. Mr. States' Rights and Mr. Pastoral New America and Mr. Yeah. Man, he really loved that president thing, though. Man, with a stroke of a pen, he could buy shit, do this, do that. Woo! Oh, yeah. All right. This was the thing, you know, and since then it's become, well, are you a monarchist? You want to turn this into England. You want a king. No, we don't want a goddamn king. But if you said strong central government, it meant loss of individual freedom. Well, I hate to break the news, and I know that there will be many people who won't get this, but quite frankly, states' rights, the emphasis on states' rights in this country during different periods, that was far more the loss of individual freedom for some Americans than any federal fucking government. It was the states that enforced Jim Crow and kicked black people out of restaurants, out of fucking places to take a shit, out of places to have a drink of water, out of places to wait for a bus, out of seats on buses, out of seats in taxi cabs. That was the state. Those were municipal and state laws. That was far more a police state to the average citizen than the fucking federal government was. You know? Now, I know I'm just a radio. One of the things that pisses people off is I'm just a radio guy, see? And because I'm just, I'm not even a talk show host. I'm not Michael Savage, see? I'm not Glenn Beck. I'm not, who's the other guy? Mark Levin, you know? I don't have any credentials in the mind of the average talk show listener, right? Oh, and I'm not conservative necessarily. So I'm just a funny man. So people, regardless of how much sense I make, and regardless if I was to take the average, say, intellect listening to me right now, and probably tear them in half in a debate. I mean, what I'm talking about now, I know my shit. And I could tear, I don't care who, I could tear somebody in half. And if I could tear the average, you know, highly intelligent, intellectual, you know, the average person, let's say, who says, oh, Henry, why don't you stick to the funny, you don't know your ass, I'd probably rip that motherfucker in half in a debate. Tear him in fucking half and leave him for the next guy's show, you know. But the point that I'm making here is that cat is going to say, I don't want to hear what you have to say, you know, I'm prejudiced against you because you're a fucking funny man. So I could make all the sense in the world. Doesn't matter. You know, it's true. I've seen it, you know, I've seen it happen. So I don't want to press the point. You know, I'm telling you guys this shit in pre-show. This is a pre-show. This is not the show. I wouldn't do this stuff in the show. No fucking way. People are resentful. These days in America, people are fucking resentful of what they think is the lib narrative. They're blind to the fact that they have their own conservative narrative. Well, I guess what they think, that's the truth. But as I said to you, they're not dealing with truth. When I talk to some motherfucker and I say, well, let's look at the flip side of affirmative action. Let's take a look at centuries, hundreds of years at least, of white privilege, which moved people of color out of jobs, out of opportunity. They deny that it fucking happened. They fucking deny that Jim Crow ever really had that much of an effect. Now, this is not just stupidity. This is like immoral. These people are immoral, man. I mean, these people are fucking immoral. I mean, they're liars. Yeah, they're fucking liars. They're not so dumb as to not know that what I'm saying is true. They just don't want it said, and they don't want it talked about. They want to get back to their important shit, which is their fucked up life and all that. Okay, I'm going to now go, I'm going to do a 360, oh no, a 180, and now I'm going to do, the show. So everybody, sit back and relax. Enjoy.